Colton stopped reading, but I'm going to read the next verse. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. What I've had on my mind is the subject of prayer. Very heavily, prayer is such a privilege, but prayer is an overwhelming subject to try to get all of the nuances of it. The position of prayer, the attitude of prayer, what to pray for, when to pray, how to pray. What is prayer? I mean, have you ever just thought about it? What is prayer? We know what everybody else, just by growing up in church, when people say prayer, everybody's quiet and one person speaks, but you should be engaged in the sacred privilege of prayer in your heart and in your mind while they're praying out loud. There are so many things to be said about prayer, but I want us to kind of hone in a little bit on some things. What prayer is, first of all, it's a declaration that you are subject to God. If you can think with me for a minute about your children, or you as a child, and the relationship that you have with your father and mother, you ask them or go to them for something, and to ask permission, you go to them to ask for help, you go to them to ask a question, and you go to them to ask for needs and wants. And by just your asking is a declaration that you're subject to them. That you won't get it unless you ask. Or that you need to ask instead of just do it on your own. It's like a teenager coming to his father and saying, "Dad, would it be all right? Would you give me permission to take the car out tonight? Or I can't, I've tried to do this, Dad, and I don't know how. And I need your help. Would you help me do this? Or show me how to do it?" And much is the same relationship when we pray to God. Now, it is the Father's will or the will of your parents to determine whether, and it's according to their will to determine whether they're going to grant your request or not. Y'all got that? There were several times when I told Drew or Hannah to do something that I knew that they could do on their own. And yet they asked me for help and I didn't give it to them because they could do it on their own. I want you to think with me today. So, prayer, it's really up to the person that you're asking. And did you know that whenever you ask your parents for something, it didn't obligate them to give it to you? Did your Brother Donnie, did Brother Howard give you everything you asked him for? No. My father didn't give me things I asked him for, and yet he gave me a lot of things that I didn't ask for as a blessing and in mercy. So I want us to remember that we're subject to God. And when we pray, we're verbalizing that we are the ones that need help. Now, I also want us to remember some other stuff about prayer. I want us to remember that He's not obligated to give you what you ask for. And there's a reason why. Prayer's got a lot of, comes in many forms and has many subjects. You know, you've prayed for a lot of different things, haven't you? Has God always given you according to your prayers? If He has, we need to talk. I know that this is one getting ahead of myself. I do that a lot. If God gave you everything you prayed for, then you only prayed according to God's will. As Jesus did. Now, prayer sometimes is a question. It's inquiring. What would you have me to do? We sang the song, what He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Trust and obey. It is not just inquiring, it's consulting. Lord, should I do this or not? It's not just consulting with God, but it's also beseeching Him or requesting something. Lord, if it be Thy will, could You do this? It's not only a request, it's a request for a lot of different things. Y'all know. A lot of different things. But sometimes it's not a request. Sometimes you're on your knees begging. Have you ever begged God for something? I have. And normally, I can't say normally, but I have begged God for some things And he has not granted my petition. I've had people to ask me. I've had two ministers to ask me to pray that they would die. Elder Fuller was one, and Elder Davidson was the other. And I've prayed that the Lord would be merciful and go on and take several others. But you know what? He didn't answer those prayers when I prayed them. Always remember, our prayers don't obligate God. There are many people in this world, many preachers, get up and teach God's people wrongly about prayer. They're quick to go to tell you the scripture that says, whatever ye ask in my name, ask it and God will give it to you. And so people ask all kind of stuff. Pitiful. That's pitiful. Now, I want us to remember that it's not just begging. Sometimes it's meditating. It's asking, or you are searching for a prayer. Have you ever prayed that God would give you a prayer? Something to pray for. That's part of it. Something God laid on your heart to pray for. And then you prayed for it. I know you've experienced, I hope you've experienced that. Let me say it like that. That something has hit you so hard and you couldn't shake it and you went to God in prayer. I'm telling you, that was God giving you a prayer. Something to pray for. So, it's not only meditating, but it's asking God to give you a prayer. Prayer is giving thanks as well. How many times did you please your father or your mother by just taking and taking and taking after asking and asking and asking without ever turning around and saying thank you? Did that please you as a parent? When the children were just so unthankful that they took what you gave almost as it was your duty to bless them. Think about it. Children, old people, think about it. Now, prayer is not only these things, but prayer in its essence is communion with God. It's communion with God. Do your children have any interaction with you? Do they call you? If they're gone, do they ask for your advice? Do they seek your counsel? I'd a whole lot rather be asked to provide counsel than me to just go to them and say, here it is. You should do this or you shouldn't do that. I mean, we've got a whole Bible full of things that we ought to do, that we know we ought to do. Sometimes we don't know how to apply it. But how often do you go to God in thanksgiving? How often do you think about things that He's done for you and just can't help but say, "Thank you, Lord"? How many of y'all would like a family that was where everybody got along good and everybody loved to be around everybody else? And everybody was always looking at the benefit of others instead of our own selves. Our motivations were for the build-up of the family and not ourselves. Where there was peace in the home. Where there was harmony among the family. Nobody ever fought. Nobody ever had, you know, problems with one another. Everybody was looking out for everybody else. I wonder, you know, as parent, that's what you want, isn't it? You want your kids to love each other, don't you? You want everything to be just right. In order for that to happen, there's got to be an attitude of gratefulness and thanks. If no one ever thanked anybody for doing anything, we'd all just go along life very lonely, wouldn't we? So prayer is communion with God. Our approach to God, I want y'all to listen. When you pray, what's your attitude? I want you to think. What's your attitude when you go to God in prayer? Do you do it as a box that you need to check before a meal? I mean, I'm glad that I see people in restaurants and I do it myself. I bow my head and give God thanks and to ask Him to bless the food. And you know, but sometimes when I bow my head, I'm doing it as a vain repetition. I am. I do that. Do you? I'm glad you do that, but I want us to really give thanks. Not just to say it with emptiness and vanity. So when we approach to God, it must be with the attitude of subjection. Meaning that we're asking an Almighty God. It must be with an attitude of humbleness. And it must come from an attitude of impotence or weakness, inability. Do y'all get that? When we pray to God, the perfect example would be the Pharisee and the publican. You remember that story, don't you? When they both went to the temple to pray, so they were in the same location. So location doesn't matter, does it? Sometimes you can be on the water praying. Sometimes you can be in a fish's belly praying. Sometimes you can be in the house of God praying. Sometimes you can be with your family praying. It doesn't matter where you're at. Sometimes you're in your closet praying. The place doesn't matter. The attitude with which you do pray matters. And when you pray with a haughty spirit like the Pharisee, when he said, "Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like this publican." He's a sinner. Inferring that he was not. This man, he's just a bad man. And I'm a good man. This man over here, I tithe. I give alms. I do a lot of honorable things. I fast. I pray. I do all these things, God. And you're obligated to give me my petition based on what I've done. You know what his words did? I can just see them fall to the ground. As opposed to the words of the publican, when he had the attitude of humbleness and impotence, and when he hit his knees, he couldn't even look up to heaven. And I can see the Pharisee just there, invoking God because he's so good. And the publican smote his breast, and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." 7 words. That feeling of subjection to God in humbleness and impotence and weakness. And guess what? His prayer went up as the vapors of incense and a sweet smelling savor to God. And God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer, and he went to his house justified rather than the good man. So the attitude of prayer must be that of weakness and impotence and humbleness and subjection to God. It must be that way. If your prayers are going to go up. Now, if your prayers fall to the ground, you're not praying that way. I'm going to tell you that publican had communion with God that day. The Pharisee only had communion with himself. That's the attitude of prayer. Sometimes God grants our requests according to what we're asking, like he did the publican. He was merciful to him because he recognized his need and that he was a sinner. And he confessed that before God, and God blessed him and was merciful to him. God granted his petition based on what he asked and how he asked it. Sometimes God gives us those petitions as we ask them. Sometimes God answers our prayer by saying no. Sometimes God answers our prayer by telling us not yet. And sometimes God answers prayer by giving us by answering it in such a way that we could never imagine. He did it, but it just wasn't how we thought he was going to do it. Isn't that amazing? God is amazing. More amazing than we could imagine. How He could deliver the whole nation by one little girl, Jewish girl, who presented herself before the king. How He could do things, that's another subject. In all cases, before, during, and after prayer, we should have a quiet reservation to His will. Not fussing about Him not doing something for us, or screaming loud about how He owes you something. It should be a quiet reservation to His will. You think about that. Well, we'll get there in a minute. I want to focus on some other things. There are several, although not that long of a list, of things that He told us to pray for. Did y'all know that? There's not that long of a list. The subjects of our prayer are many and varied, aren't they? All different kinds of prayers. Things that we petition God for. But in God's Word, there are a few things that we are told to pray for. And I want to go through a few of those. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's a common theme among humanity, isn't it? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. We got a big job. If we just blessed the people that cursed us, we'd have a big job. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's something that we ought to pray for. That's the first thing that's recorded in the New Testament that we pray for. We're supposed to pray for our enemies and those that despitefully use us and persecute us. Started out hard, didn't it? You ever prayed for your enemies? You ever done that? I want to know. Have y'all really prayed for your enemies? Have you ever, even one time, prayed for an enemy? I have. A few times. Not many. But a few times I've prayed for my enemy. I've prayed for people that despitefully used me. And you know what? The Lord is gracious. That's not the end of the sentence. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That doesn't mean that we become His children when we pray for our enemies, but it's becoming His children to do so because He loves His enemies, does He not? I mean, not Satan, but he loves you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now let's turn over a page. Matthew chapter 6. You might not even have to turn the page. His disciples, after hearing this, they wanted to know, I'm sure, how to pray. And I want you to realize that this is not Jesus' prayer. This is how Jesus taught them to pray. He says in chapter 6 and verse 7. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's go start in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You know what a hypocrite is, don't you? It's a person that says one thing and does something else. It's a person that's insincere. It's a person that's inconsistent. He said, don't pray like those hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. A synagogue was a place of worship that was not the temple. And in the corners of the streets, that means out in public, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And if you pray that way, you will too. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That means a quiet place. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. I remember, you know, when we teach our children about how to say the blessing or to pray before a meal, what do we tell them? God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen. Every time they eat, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen. Guess what? I know adults that still pray that way. And that's all that they say. And I'm telling you, that's a vain repetition. When we go to sleep at night, we teach our children to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's a good prayer. But not when you do it every night for 40 years. It becomes a vain repetition. And I want us to remember that when we pray, we must approach God in humbleness for our petitions. Not in vain repetitiveness. He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. If God knows what we need, Why doesn't he just go on and shower them down to us without us ever having to ask him? Because God desires your communion with him. He desires for you to come to him recognizing your subjection to him and your need of him. That's why he calls us to pray. Because he desires that communion. Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And this prayer is heard in every sporting event on the teams before they go out. I never played a football game, but where there wasn't the coach or one of the players to lead us in this prayer. And we say it, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I want you to know that that's a vain repetition whenever they pray that way. Unless someone really hits it with an attitude of thankfulness. But they don't pray that way. I never prayed that prayer before a sporting event in humbleness. I always prayed that prayer before a sporting event because I wanted to invoke God to be on our side and to let us win. And I submit to you that that's the attitude of every athlete, almost, I can't say every, but most of the athletes that have ever prayed that prayer before a game, they're just praying to win the game. Let's go through this. Jesus says, this is the manner that you ought to pray. Our Father. I want you to recognize that when you call on God, that you realize that He's your Father and you're His Son. That is a divine relationship started by Him. You're subject to Him, realizing that when you say, our Father. Not only that, but you're calling Him your Father and you're letting Him know that you know where He's at in heaven. And then you, which is the seat of all glory and majesty and honor and power. And then you say, hallowed, or revered, or honored be thy name. And so you're telling him how good you think he is. You're saying that his name is to be revered by all creation. Because he's your Father in heaven. And then the thing that you say next or pray next is, thy kingdom come. Whose kingdom is it? It's His kingdom. And not only are you praying that His kingdom come, but you're praying that His will be done, not yours. He says, thy will be done, and it's not on earth, I want you to know. I said it on earth because that's the way everybody prays for a ball game. They say on earth. It's not on earth, it's in earth. That means, I believe that means in my earthen vessel. In thy kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And I want you to understand that this is not just a general prayer. This is a prayer that you're praying to God that His will be done in you. In earth, in this earthen vessel, as it is in heaven. Did you know that God's will is always done there? And it's always done according to Him. And you know what we ought to pray for? We ought to pray that His will would be done in us exactly that way. And that His kingdom would have it exactly that way. Give us. You know, that's a lot of stuff to pray for first, isn't it? He hadn't even told us about what to... It hadn't even got to us yet, has it? It's all been about God and our Father and the kingdom of God. He hadn't even got to what we're petitioning for. We're giving Him thanks already. And we're asking that His will be done. He's glorious and full of majesty. And He says, give us this day our daily bread. That's talking about necessities. That's not talking about wants. That's talking about necessities or needs. And not needs for way in the future. He's talking about needs for today. This day. Our daily bread. And He's not praying for a Cadillac. He's not praying for a big old mansion house. He's praying for sustenance to get me through and give me energy for this day and nutrients to make my body work this day. Our daily bread. Oh, and then it's another attitude of impotence. And forgive us our debts. And Jesus says that this forgiveness of debts, that we ought to pray that God would forgive us our debts with no strings attached. Is that what He said? No, that's not how He told us to pray. We need to pray that God would forgive us our debts as we forgive those that trespass against us. As we forgive our debtors. Another place, in another one of the accounts of the gospel, He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here, in Matthew, He called it debts. Now, what's a debt? That means when you owe somebody something. And you're asking for them to forgive you. But how forgiving are you? Do people owe you something? And do you always hold it over their head? If you hold their debt over their head, God's going to hold yours over your head. That's what He's saying. Amen. Forgive us our debts as we, or to the same extent that we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Now that's not talking about temptation to sin. Y'all understand that? Every child of God is tempted or tried by the Lord. But we ought not to tempt God. If I was going to walk across Interstate 40 during rush hour in Jackson, I wouldn't walk up to the road and say, God, let me get across this road and then just start walking around. I wouldn't do that. That's tempting God. You're putting yourself in a position of, I can't use the word, but you're not being very smart. God gave you a brain. Don't enter into temptation willingly, but if God sends you a temptation, endure it by faith. Enter not. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff in there about what we ought to pray for ourselves, is it? Daily bread, forgive us our debts, and don't deliver us into temptation, but keep us from the evil. Those three things. Keep us from evil, Lord. Give us what we need today. Forgive us. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those three things are personal things that He said to pray for. There are several others. Matthew 9 and 38 says, when He sent out the 70, no, that's not. Well, yeah, it was the result of some of that. But in verse 37. Well, verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. That means pray to the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I want to ask y'all a question. How often do you pray that God would send His preachers? How many of y'all have ever prayed that prayer? I pray it often. How many of y'all have actually prayed that God would call more preachers into the harvest? Amen. We need to do more of that. I've heard of some men that pray for that, some preachers that prayed for that every time that they, and they really meant it, every time that they prayed. And I've also heard that God granted their petition. I believe it was Brother Danny talked about Danny Wisner talked about a brother down in Louisiana or Mississippi that used to pray for that almost every time he prayed for. And in that area over several years, they ordained some about 20 different preachers, and they were God called ministers into His harvest. That's something we ought to pray for. I want you to pray for more preachers. God called preachers. We got plenty of people that are ordained. I'm talking about God called preachers. Mm-hmm. People that God sends and God lays His hands on, not the kind that just men lay their hands on. We got plenty of mom and daddy called preachers. We got plenty of wife called preachers. We need God called preachers. Because the harvest is plenteous. Matthew 26 and 41. Y'all know this. The Lord took Peter and James and John as He went to pray before the crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all know the story. I hope you know the story. Jesus called them and said, pray with me for an hour. 1 hour. And Jesus went a little bit farther than them because He wanted to go into His closet to pray. To beseech God. To entreat His Father. And when He got up, He came back and He saw them and they were asleep. And He said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? Yeah. And he went back and he prayed some more. And this happened three times. And then the Lord, when he got finished, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want us to remember that one of the first things that we ought to do is watch. Do you want to know what to pray for? Watch first. If you open your eyes, you got plenty of stuff to pray for, don't you? If you open your eyes, you've got thankfulness to give first. You've got praise to give first. You've got honor to give first, because if your eyes are open, you realize that God is the God and Lord of your life. And if you realize that, you got plenty of things to pray for, to give Him thanks for. But if you're watching all the stuff that goes on in this world, you still got plenty of things to pray for. If you're really perceptive of your own self, you've got plenty of things to pray for. Watch, he says, and pray. Don't just pray haphazardly or willy-nilly. Ambiguously. General prayers. He wants you to pray specifically. Now, there are some general prayers we pray. We pray for a nation and stuff like that. But what do you pray for the nation? You think about that. What do you pray? I've heard men say, "Lord, we pray for our nation." I think I understand, but I mean, God might understand what he means, but I don't really know what they're asking God for. Time's almost gone. He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." That means be looking out for temptations and pray that you don't enter into it. Like sleeping when the Lord called you to pray with Him for an hour. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what do you need to pray for? That your flesh would be strong to not go to sleep. That's just one instance. The spirit within you is willing. I mean, God called spirit, the God sent spirit, the spirit of God in you is willing. That you be godly, that you do godly, but the flesh is weak. Pray for your flesh that it would not be weak, but that it would be consistent with the Spirit. One more. Mark 13:33. I'm going to go over there real fast. Get this context. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem before this, which has its parallels to the end of the world. 31, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, take ye heed. Watch," there it is again, "watch and pray." You know, Jesus said, you can, you scribes and hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. You can tell when bad weather's coming, when it's going to be nice out. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Jesus is talking about discerning the signs of the times. He says, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. Then he says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You think we ought to be watching? I'm not talking about watching TV. I'm not talking about watching a sporting event. I'm talking about watching for the situation of this world and praying that God wouldn't come back, but praying that we would be in accordance with His will and that His will be done. Prayer is important. So important. Y'all know I just scratched the surface of this today. When you pray, and I want you to pray this week, I want you to labor to pray. And when you pray, I want you to really mean it. I want you to have communion with your Father in heaven. I want you to glorify His name and be thankful in your prayers. I want you to pray that God's will be done in your life like it is in heaven. May God bless you to live in accordance with His will. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have that desire to come and be obedient to the commands of Christ.